You have a right to ask the questions. You have a right to question. You have a right. And I want you to know that the most enduring faith often emerges from wrestling with the truth.
Welcome to the Beverly Boulevard Four Square Church. It's Sunday, May 4th, 2025. Pastor Zoni is speaking. Today's message is entitled Doubting Thomas, and our text comes to us from John chapter 20, verses 24 through 29. And now here's Pastor Zoni.
We're still back in John chapter 20. We could be in John chapter 20 forever, you know, but we won't. But I do think it's important for me to bring this one portion of God's word that addresses something that happens to all of us in more often than we want to imagine. And that is when we have doubts about our faith, doubts about what's going on in our lives, and we question the Lord. And most of us have heard the saying, don't be a doubting Thomas. And I think we've heard that many times, don't be a doubting Thomas. But I would like to shed a little bit of light on this Thomas guy, that he was not really that bad of a guy at all. As a matter of fact, Thomas was labeled as a doubter, but it misses the whole part of his journey. If we could only understand that life is a journey, that it's a way of walking and living in this world. The scriptures, John chapter 20, verse 24 through 29. Let's read that and then we'll go right into it. Now, Thomas, called Didymus, I think that's how you say it. I'm sorry for those scholars out there. One of the 12. He was one of the who?
12.
Whoa. Whoa. He wasn't just, you know, he was one of the
12.
Apostles. Was not with his disciples when Jesus came. Verse 25. So the other disciples told him, hey, we've seen the Lord. But he said to them, unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hands on his side, I will not believe it. And may I just pause here for a second? He doesn't say the nail prints in his feet, because in those days, they never, never nailed the feet. They tied the feet. Some of the pictures that we have today of the crucifix, they are incorrect. They're not biblical. But anyway, unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger then where the nails were and put my hands on his side, I will not believe it. And that 26, and a week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with him. Now, he showed up. Though the doors were locked, guess what happened? Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace with you. And whenever Jesus says, peace with you, it means I'm restructuring and ordering this room.
Hallelujah.
The room of your life.
Amen.
I'm ordering your heart to be in the correct place. It's not just, oh, I feel good. It's a reordering of life.
Yes.
Peace with you. Then he said to Thomas, hey, buddy, come over here. He didn't say that. Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe. Verse 27 says, and Thomas said to him, my Lord and my God. Then Jesus told him, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. May God bless the reading of his word. I really would like to talk about Thomas today, because Thomas was not really cynical and he was not really disloyal. He was a man who loved Jesus deeply, and he grieved intensely. And what he wanted to have in his life was certainty in the face of what he considered shattered hope. Jesus was dead. And so in Thomas, I see, and I think we should see, a story of someone who wrestled for certainty, wrestled for truth in the faith of hope that seemed to have been shattered. This is a man who wrestled honestly with pain. anguish. But he was surprised by God's grace. And ultimately, he surrendered to faith. Because you see, his absence moves him to encounter. And he was a skeptic that led him to true worship. So we discover ourselves in the life of Thomas. We really do. Because many of us know what it means to be left out. Have you ever been left out? Looks like all of you are not left out people, huh? Sometimes we feel left out. And sometimes we carry questions and we wonder what the answers are for the issues that we're going through today. And then there's moments that we hope for where Jesus can break through the fog and bring us, again, that peace that orders our life. So let us follow Thomas, not with judgment, but understanding. And I think you will find out that his story is part of your story and my story as well. First thing I want to mention, which I think is obvious, is the danger of isolation in our lives. Thomas wasn't there when Jesus showed up. And grief pulls us away, you know that. Grief sometimes takes us to places we shouldn't go to. Thomas, in verse 24, says, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. Thomas was absent. Jesus, the resurrected King of Kings, appeared to the gathered disciples, but Thomas wasn't in the room. He wasn't in the room. We don't know why he wasn't in the room. But we can infer because of his temperament. And you can look it up in John 11, 16. He's the one who said, okay, Jesus is going to Jerusalem. Let's go with him and die together. This is the kind of guy that we're talking about. But he was overcome by grief because Jesus was crucified and he was nailed and he was put in the tomb. And he was beside himself. Grief often pulls us away. Away from what? From three things, we pulled away from community. You don't want to see anybody. You don't want to talk to anybody. You want to have a pity party. You want to be by yourself. It pulls you away from fellowship. You don't want to see anybody. You don't want to have talk to people. And then, of course, sometimes it pulls us from hope, for we think it's all done. There is no remedy. It happened. In other words, God's not in control. Circumstances are. People are. Huh. King George V said, if I have to suffer, let me suffer alone. How many relate to that? Oh, I can see some of you who like to suffer alone. Yeah, yeah. Many people live by that creed. When something hits you, when something hurts you, instead of coming to the place where you can be healed and restored, you hide. With your pain, you run from reality. You make up your own false reality because you're excluding God from working in that reality that you are facing today. That's exactly what Thomas did. And today, withdrawal happens in many different forms. And I'm going to step in some toes here, but that's okay. Many people stop coming to church. Churchgoers have fallen out of attendance. Did you know that there's some people who have yet to return from the pandemic? Others have replaced gathered worship with Facebook clips and Instagram devotionals. So, matter of fact, there is a devotional today that you can get in, you get 3 months free, and you can pray with that devotional. Some of you may have that. All right. If it works for you, it works for you. But it moves you into isolation. It moves you away from the gathering of God's people. I want you to know that scrolling is not the same as showing up. You cannot touch the wounds of Christ with the screen. I have a paragraph for you. Let me read it to you. Thomas missed Jesus because he missed the room. Did you catch that? He missed Jesus because he missed the room. how many people miss the presence of Christ because they have substituted screens for sanctuaries and scrolling for shared worship. I love you, but some of you need to make your way to God's house. I love you, but you're out of obedience with the concept of the gathering of the saints. I love you, God loves you, but you're living a fragile Christian experience, for you need to be in the room. You need to be in the room. Hebrews 10:24-25 says, we're not to giving up meeting together, but encouraging one another, because when you come together, you encourage one another. There's encouragement here. Because what you're going through, others have already gone through and have conquered it, and you can't imagine somebody conquering what you have not conquered. A little bit of pride, huh? You need to come. You need to show up. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 9 through 10 says, two are better than one. If either falls, one can help the other up. Újale. Muchos se han caído y ahí siguen caídos. And the reason you are caídos is because there's nobody there to pick you up. Psalms 68:6 is one of my favorite psalms. It says, God sets the lonely in families. See, you're not to live your faith alone. You're not to live your faith in isolation. You're not to run away just because you're facing critical issues or because things have gone wrong in your life or because you've made a mistake. So gathered church is not optional. It's essential, especially when sorrow tempts you to stay home. And when that happens, that may be the very moment you need most to be among God's people. Yeah, us, God's people, with all of our faults and all the deficiencies that you can encounter. They're with you too, by the way, those deficiencies and those errors and those misunderstandings. Listen, Jesus often appears where his body is gathered. Don't miss Jesus by staying away. So in many ways, Thomas was not really absent physically. He was unraveling emotionally. And isn't this really the way it goes? When you step away from the gathered body, isn't not just that we miss the message, we miss the presence. We miss the presence. And alone our doubts go unchecked. Alone our disappointments echo louder. And that was Thomas's life, isolated in grief. Questions deepening, his hope dimmed. And then when the good news reached that said, hey, if you go to Beverly Willow or Foursquare Church, God's got to meet you there. Doesn't really say that, but when the good news comes up and says, hey, Christ rose from the dead, it sounded too good to be true. Nah, I don't believe that. Propaganda. So if the first thing that I would mention this very morning is that we must not miss the room. The second is that there is nothing wrong with having integrity in honest doubt. Because Thomas says, unless I see, I will not believe. And Thomas was not pretending. He was not trying to be dramatic. He simply couldn't believe until he knew it for himself. Watch it. It's okay. Because this is a great virtue. He refused, here it comes, he refused to take fake faith. He was not going to rattle the belief just because others said so. He wasn't going to parrot it. He was not just going to repeat it. A great writer, Tennyson, wrote, there lives more faith in honest doubt, believe me, than in half the creeds. You have a right to ask the questions. You have a right to question. You have a right. And I want you to know that the most enduring faith often emerges from wrestling with the truth, not just simply recitation, parroting something that you have not absorbed and put into your own heart. Mark 9:24 says, I do believe, help me to overcome my unbelief. There are things in our life that we just need to walk through. Jude 22, of all the epistles, speaks and says, be merciful to those who doubt. There's nothing wrong to doubt, wanting to prove God working in your life. But you got to ask the question. You got to push through. Proverbs 2, 3 to 5 says, cry out for insight. Then you will understand. God does not want you to walk in darkness, in so-called blind faith. He wants you to trust him for who he is. There's a lot to the Lord. And by the way, God's never offended by your questions. I have a lot of questions. So far, he's answered a few. Others, he says, when I see you, I'll talk to you about it. I said, don't rush, Lord. I'm fine. I'm fine. But the church has to be a place where you and I can ask, where you and I can seek, and where you and I can struggle. Doubt is the opposite of faith, pretending. See, it's doubt, it's good. You come to God and say, why? You wrestle with that. You wrestle with God. God is not offended by your questions. And doubt is not the opposite of faith, pretending it is. And so like Thomas, you and I, when we bring questions to Christ, he offers a response with his presence, where he speaks peace. It's amazing. Sometimes, most of the Lord doesn't give me a long paragraph. His presence brings peace. And scripture says, the peace that surpasses our understanding. There's something about God's presence in your life and my life that we don't need words for. It's an experience in the presence of God that he says, peace. And there's peace. It gets resolved. His presence resolves the issues that you and I often carry. So what is remarkable about Thomas is not that he just doubted. I think what is remarkable about Thomas is that he stayed long enough to get an answer. He stayed long enough to encounter Christ. And you and I can have questions in our lives, but we need to linger and wait until his presence makes himself known to you. And he did not walk away permanently. He brought to Christ his bruised, banged up faith, the questions he had. And he had precise demands. And you know what? Jesus met him right there. Right there. He did not scold him. He didn't shame him. Jesus showed up. And he comes to your life and my life, and he shows up. And all the questions that you had and all the issues you were wrestling with, poof, disappear. And again, peace invades your life and your heart. And then the questions you were asking, you ask yourself, why was I even asking that question? Why was I even doubting this, God's presence in your life? But see, there's something about you and me when we doubt and when we go through crises and difficulties in life. The grace of Christ is there for those who doubt. And God's grace is reaching out to those who have a question mark, who cannot explain why. Well, Jesus tells Thomas, put your fingers right here and stop doubting and believe. Jesus met Thomas at the very exact point of his doubt. Not with rebuke, but with an invitation. You know, this is the beauty of the gospel. Grace reaches out to you and to me even when our faith is faltering. Somehow, some way, God gets into that place in your life and he shows up and says, hey, is this what you're asking? This is how I resolve it. Isaiah 42:3 says, a bruised reed he will not break. And John 1:14 says, he was full of grace and truth. And when you continue to look at what Christ is and how he answers you and how he answers me, we go to Hebrews chapter 4, where he says, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. He knows where we're doubting. He knows our question marks. He knows our struggles. He understands the complexity of living here. The word sympathize means to feel with. Jesus doesn't just know about your struggles. He's walked through them. Huh. Oh, you didn't know that, huh? Oh, yeah. Yeah. He knows our frame, not only because he made us, but because he walks in our shoes. Wherever I go, the Lord goes. The Lord is with you. He will never leave you. He will never depart from you. But we can go a little bit further. Jesus remains forever human. Did you know that? The risen Christ today bears the scars. And he's still the God-man, the eternal mediator between God and man. We have Jesus Christ, the man Jesus Christ, second person of the Trinity, representing you and me for crying out loud. We have a human being, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. See, 1 Timothy 2:5, he's the man Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus. Hebrews 7:25. He always lives to intercede for them, for you, for me. And he goes on to say in Luke 24:39, touch me and see me. A ghost does not have flesh and bones. He's a pure man. He's a man, not a ghost, not a weird spirit floating. He's truly, truly a physical, the physicality of Jesus. So when you continue to read the story, you find that the hands of Thomas were, I'm sure, shaken. I don't think he could reach. We don't see the scripture that he actually did that. He didn't touch his side. He did not put his hands in the wounds of his hands. But I believe that the hands touched by Thomas, Jesus, are the hands that intercede for you and for me today. They were there. They're there. And the man who died is now the man who reigns. And you know that he still bears our wounds and our humanity. Oh, I know it's a lot to unload on the pulpit from a Sunday morning and talk to you about those theological matters, but I want you to know that when you are weak, there is someone who understands your weakness, but he's able to do something about it. And we do not draw near to the throne of God for judgment, but we come with our doubts to a throne of grace. And he invites us to come close to him, even with trembling, doubting faith, because he will resolve them for you by giving you the peace that you deserve. And he gives you the honor and the distinct privilege of asking that question that troubles you. Boy, you guys are quiet today. Must be me. For Thomas, the grace of Christ was not abstract. It was a physical thing. It was tangible. It was wounded. And it changed him forever. And here's the key. Until that happens, until you don't get rid of the doubts, you will never be able to worship. Doubt gave way to worship. Grief gave way to surrender. And what become or became or begun, an absence, culminates in absolute total worship, where you bow down to the one who's got the answers because he understands the question. John 20:28 gives us the last concern that I have for this text, and is the power of total surrender. Thomas said to him, my Lord and my God. And this is the clearest confession of Jesus' divinity, by the way. And it doesn't come from Peter. It doesn't come from John. It comes from Thomas. And Thomas is the wounded worshiper. He had questions, and he was wounded. He didn't say, just say, you're the Lord. He said, you're my Lord and my God. Not abstract, not inherited, but personal and immediate and transforming. That's what worship will do. When you bow down to your Lord and God, see, the wounded worshiper becomes healed by coming into his presence. Romans 10:9 says, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord, you need to declare it with your mouth. You need to act an act of worship. Every knee would bow. Every tongue will acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord. And Psalms 31:14 says, but I trust in you, Lord. I say, you are my God. And that's how we worship and we bow to divinity. Not because he has done things for us, but because he is actually God who brings peace to my life. He orders our life in his own way. So real faith doesn't stop at belief. It surrenders. And when you and I have been met by grace, and you and I have been touched by scars, and you are called by name, Thomas, there is no halfway. God takes care of things. Thomas was a guide from doubt to worship, from concerns to resolve, from a life that was not clear as to what to do to a life that was dedicated in serving God. He didn't just believe again. He belonged again. He was part of that. So I conclude this wonderful Sunday morning, and I'm sure you're happy. From absence to presence, from doubt to declaration, from isolation to transformation. Thomas showed us that Jesus meets us despite our weakness, but precisely within it. The crime, we shortchange ourselves when we negate the questions and we fake it. But when we come into God's presence and we ask the right question and we tell him the truth, we become true worshipers because he transforms us by giving us the answer, the only answer that is suited for you. So when honest doubts can meet surrendered grace, it gives birth to the strongest faith of them all. The one that you will be able to say to yourself, and not just Lord, but my Lord and God. So my Sunday morning ends by saying to you, don't stay away from facing your doubts in the presence of God. Don't stay away from coming to church. Don't hide your questions. Don't settle for shallow beliefs. Come, ask questions. Come close. Touch grace and surrender to God. Because the resurrected Christ is resurrected for you. And he has a plan for your life. So bring those doubts to God. Bring those questions marked to him. Let him speak to you. Let him order your life by giving you peace. And he will show you everything you need to know and not know. I've often doubted my faith in the sense of, what's next, Lord? Lord, this doesn't make any sense. Lord, this is wrong. How many of us have been wounded by other brothers and sisters in the church? Have been misunderstood, misplaced. We have felt forgotten and abandoned. And then you stay away from God's house and God's people. And then you don't see Jesus showing up. And you keep festering, keep living a life that is not fulfilled. And you become angry and you become even bitter and you become useless for the kingdom of God, and you're nothing more than a receptacle for the vial of life. Listen, do not continue to live without asking questions to God. Ask him questions. Speak to him directly. Let him clear the slate with you by beginning to give you peace in your heart. And then he will answer according to his will in your life. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
So, Lord, I thank you for the amen because it means I'm ending the message. But I thank you because you're able to speak to our hearts and to address those issues that sometimes can eat us up. Lord, I thank you for Thomas because he came full round, Lord. He really did. He did stayed away and he missed out on the opportunity, but then you gave him another opportunity. You showed up when Thomas was there. And Lord, all the questions he had asked in his absence became known to the Lord very clearly and was challenged. Thank you, Lord, for speaking to our hearts, for challenging us and letting us know that you will give us peace that we may serve you. Thank you, Lord. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen, Lord.
The splendor of the King, clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide and trembles at his voice, trembles at his voice. How great is our God, sing with me, how great is our God.
So bring your questions to God and let him answer according to his will in your heart. You will get an answer from him and you will enjoy life in a much better way. All right, church, this is the day
that the Lord
has made. We will rejoice and be glad. The word rejoice and glad is important, right? Rejoice and be glad. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his face to you and give you peace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Greet one another in the love of the Lord this Sunday morning.
We're so glad you're able to join us today. If you would like to watch the full service with the worship time included, you can check out our Facebook page. For more information about our church, go to our website at www.bbfoursquare.org. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. God bless. See you next week.